So everybody, you've asked me this week what Go International is. We're a short-term mission agency based in Wilmore, Kentucky, founded in 1968 with the heart of an evangelist, camp meeting evangelist, who I believe spoken here before, Maurice Stevens. And the layman took him on a short-term mission trip, and it changed his life. And from that point, he began to take people on short-term mission trips. A lot's developed since 1968. Our passion right now is helping the people develop and pursue their passion for fulfilling the Great Commission. And what God's begun to speak to us about is that we used to feel like this is what we do at Go International. We do short-term trips, and if you'd like to be a part of that, come do a short-term trip with us. And what we began to realize is that God's birthing these ideas, creative ideas, in the hearts of men and women, His children, of ways to fulfill the Great Commission. And I talk to people all the time all over the country who are doing things, and they feel like, I don't know how this fits your organization or another organization, but God's given me this idea, and it's the practical things. And we're helping people develop and pursue those things so they can use their gifts and talents for the Lord and to be involved in missions. We do short-term teams. We've got medical missions. We're moving in a lot of different areas. We're working in areas of children in crisis. And if you go to our website, GoInternational.org, you can see a lot more about our ministry there and what we're doing. But I want to just tell you about one thing I'm really excited about. A few years ago, the idea of holiness in our country doesn't seem to be a hot topic anymore. You notice that? And that's why I appreciate about the camp meetings. I believe that God laid on my heart that while it doesn't seem to be an interest in our culture anymore, they're hungry for it around the world. And we've been challenging camp meetings to get involved and help us go in and hold pastors' conferences around the globe called International Holiness Conferences, where we go in for about 3 to 5 days and teach the message of holiness to pastors and equip them. And what God has been doing through that, we've been getting camp meeting presidents to go with us and camps to kind of challenge them, other missions program and giving to underwrite that. If we believe in the message of holiness, we've got to spread it to other people and to see it go around the world. I was in Mexico just a few years ago doing one of our first ones, and we had taught, and you could tell that some of these pastors had never heard this message where we were at in this denomination we were working in. The bishop of that denomination dismissed us after a time of teaching to go over to the fellowship hall where we were going to have lunch together and close out the session. He said, "We'll be over in a few minutes," and they didn't come, and they didn't come, and they didn't come. So finally we got curious about what was going on, and what we discovered later was this testimony that the bishop had stood up to close out some business meeting. He looked out and saw one of his former DSs who had been over him and put him in a bad appointment, and he had carried bitterness towards that DS his entire ministry. And he understood the message of holiness for the first time, and he stood up and he asked for forgiveness of that former DS of his. And from that, a revival began to break out among those pastors, and they began to go back to their home churches, and they started teaching and preaching holiness. And the stories that we've heard from that one thing, that one conference, has been powerful. And I'd just love for you to be praying for us as we try to raise up more and more people. We're linking up with the Francis Asbury Society and helping to spread this message of scriptural holiness, not just across our land and camp meetings. I'll be preaching for this summer, but around the world and taking this message of holiness to those who desperately need it. So you pray for us at Go International. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Reading this morning out of the New American Standard Bible, it says this: "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." Have you ever been watching a television program? Seems like it always happens to me when I'm watching my favorite show at just that right point where something big's about to happen. And there's this loud noise that comes on to the across the screen, and a multicolored striped thing comes across the screen. It goes beep, interrupts the program that you're watching, and And a voice comes across the airways and says something like this: "This is just a test of the emergency broadcast system." And begins to go on with all kinds of details, what to do in the unlikely event of emergency. And it always amazes me. I think they must have some sort of scanners or something like that to kind of figure out when you're right glued to your television, right when you're ready to see the final part, and that beep, this is just a test. What I've come to discover, sometimes life is interrupted by the same sound. Amen? Sometimes when we least expect it, that interrupting noise comes across the screens of our heart, and we hear that noise, this is just a test. Someone once said that everyone is either going through a test, has just come out of a test, or is on deck to be next at bat. What I've discovered as I travel across the country and around the world is there are a lot of God's people who are going through times and seasons of testing. And there's a lot of people that don't really fully understand how God uses this test and what happens. Some are from God and some are not, to be honest with you. Peter reminds us of two things that we need to understand in 1 Peter chapter 4. One is this, that we're not supposed to be surprised when these times of testing come our way. Don't be surprised. A lot of times we hear God's people and they're just shocked and they're surprised. I can't believe I'm going through this time of testing. And Peter said, don't be surprised. And he also said this, don't think something strange is happening to you, because this is part of what sometimes God allows in our lives to teach us some wonderful things. I was watching a football game last season, during football season, and the commentators, as we were getting kind of towards the end of the season, and they were talking about those bye weeks and those teams that had taken the week off and they hadn't played someone, and then they were coming back in for the next big game, and they were commenting to each other, said, sometimes you wonder which is better, the week of rest or the week of the test. I thought that was good. Sometimes we like the rest, but sometimes God can use the test in our life to accomplish something more powerful and more intimate. You see, there's some basic principles we have to understand, have to establish for us as I talk about this subject today entitled, This is Just a Test. There are two kinds of tests that we can expect that in this life. There are those tests that come from Satan, and his purpose, his sole purpose for those tests, is the test is of temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led and guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. Satan's temptation was not to build Jesus up. It was to test him, to destroy him, and to make him stumble and fall. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says this, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. One of the tests that we can be sure that we will encounter in this life is these tests come from Satan, and his purpose of his testing is for temptation and to get us to fall. Someone once said, the devil tests that he may ruin and destroy, but God tests that he may crown. And so we can be assured that there will be tests that come from the enemy who's seeking our temptation and to destroy us. But we can also be assured in Scripture today that God also tests us, and His purpose for testing us is not for our temptation and to destroy us, but for our spiritual formation and for our spiritual transformation. David writes in Psalm 17, verse 3, you have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night when no one's looking. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. You have tested me, my thoughts, and examined my heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart, he says, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 12. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause and my case before you. The basis for this message is this. There are two kinds of testing that we can be assured that we'll receive in this life. Those that come from Satan, and his purpose for the test is to destroy us. It's temptation to get us to fall. But we can also be assured that we can find times of testing from God. And He also has some purposes for those tests that He allows into our lives. And they are for our spiritual formation and for our spiritual transformation. I want to do something a little different today. And that is, I begin to do a study of this idea because I want to know if God sometimes brings tests into my mind, I wanted to dig through the Scriptures and find exactly what the Word of God had to say about times of testing. Now, you're going to be shocked by this because you've been listening to me almost for a week now, but I found 7 things that God wants to do through it. I know it's just going to shock you. You're just not going to believe it. Some of you think He's probably going to preach on 3 things, but honest to goodness, it's, I guess part of my personality, I hate to talk about 4 things that God wants to do when there's 7, right? I mean, I talk about 25, but there are 25, but there's 7 things. As I looked at every verse of Scripture about how God allows a test in our life, these Scriptures, all of them, fall into 7 categories. And today, if you have a piece of paper, I'd like you to write this down. 7 ways that God may use a test in your life. 7 ways that God may use a test in your life. And it's my prayer today as we look at this, sometimes we need to understand, is this coming from Satan? Is God allowing this? Once we discover the basis for this test, and then we need to begin to look and see how God is using this. I want to do something else just a little bit different today in this message. And that is, because of our time, I'm not going to make a whole lot of comment on these. I'm just going to give you the different things, the 7 ways that God can use a test in your life. And I'm going to give you the Scriptures. I'm going to let the Scriptures speak for themselves today. And you just listen, write down, and if you don't get all these, you can see me later or email me, and I'll give you all these Scriptures later. 7 ways God may use a test in your life. Number 1, God may use a test to probe in your life. God may use a test to probe. The word probe means to investigate. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says this, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way, these 40 years in the wilderness. And He led you these 40 years in the wilderness, listen to this, to humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart." God was using a test among the children of Israel to probe and to investigate and to see what was in their heart, to test to see whether they would keep His commandments or not. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3 says this, "The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 32. "However, when the ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart." Sometimes God will use a test in our lives. He'll allow a test to come into our lives to probe, to investigate, to see what's really, really down deep inside our heart. But number 2, God may use a test in our life to prove something or someone. Not only to probe or to investigate, but God may use a test to prove something or someone in your life. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says this, "And after these things, God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I." We read later in verse 12 of chapter 22, God said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said, "do not do any harm to him, for I know now that you fear God because you have not withheld your very son, your one and your only son from me." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, that great hall of fame, that hall of faith chapter described this man, Abraham. It says, by faith, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, and he who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. You see, God allowed both Abraham, He allowed Job to go through times of testing to prove that he was blameless and he was upright and that he feared God and he was willing to turn away from evil. I like that story in the New Testament in John chapter 6, verse 6, when Jesus sees the multitude and He says, "Go out and find what kind of things we have to feed these people." And they say, "Well, we don't got anything but a few loaves and a few fishes. What are these among so many?" is what Philip says. And I love this verse in chapter 6, verse 6 of the book of John. It says, "He only asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do." You realize sometimes God will allow a test in our life. God already knows what He's going to do, but He allows a test that He may prove something or someone and something in someone's life. So God may use a test to probe. He may use a test to prove something or someone. Number three, He may use a test to prune. To prune. John chapter 15. God would often allow things to be pruned back so that it can produce more fruit. We're called in John chapter 15 to bear fruit. Not just fruit, but more fruit, much fruit, and great fruit. That's what the Bible says. In Judges chapter 7 verse 4, it says this, "But the Lord told Gideon, there's still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not." Sometimes God will often prune back for His purposes of developing dependency upon Him. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, "Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word of God with joy, and when they hear it, they have no root. They believe for a while, but when in the time of testing, they fall away." God may use a test sometimes to prune back. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, "Do not harden your hearts as they did in the day of rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert." God used this time of testing in the desert to prune out and to prune away a whole generation that wouldn't trust God, that wouldn't be dependent upon Him. God may use a test to probe, investigate. He may use a test to prove something in your life. He may use a test to prune back so that we can produce more fruit. Number four, He may use a test to prepare us for something. Psalm 105, verse 19 says this, "Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character." Would you argue with me at all how God prepared Joseph for a season of greatness in his life was solely through testing after testing after testing? And there's not one of us that wants to go through that season of testing like Joseph did, but God used those tests to prepare Joseph for a season of greatness and a season of leadership. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 3, it says this, "But you, O Lord, you know me. You have seen me and you have tested my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the days of slaughter." Have you ever gone through a fire drill or a tornado drill in school? You remember those days? They're not an actual thing. Did you realize that? They're called drills for a reason. They are designed to prepare you for a future event. And sometimes God will allow some of these drills to come into our lives so that will prepare us for something that God has for us down the road. Now, if we're honest, we'd often say, "I don't want to go through this time of testing." No one likes to go through a time of testing. But if we don't, we miss out on some things that God wants us to do. See, God may use a test to probe, to prove, to prune, to prepare, but God may also use a test in your life to produce something valuable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, "They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also being filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity." Wait a minute. They're being tested, but because they're being tested, they're overflowing with great joy, and God's producing rich generosity in their lives. How's that being? Remember the John 15:2 principle? You prune before you produce. You prune back before God produces something great in your life. None of us like going through that season of testing when God's pruning you back. But if God doesn't prune us back sometimes, then we can never advance the cause of the kingdom of God and be prepared for what God's calling us to. I don't have time to tell you today about some of the difficult seasons of pruning that Cheryl and I have been through in our lives, in our ministries. And there are very few things in those moments that I could say, "Thank you, God, for that I'm going through this." But at this moment in my life, I can thank God for those experiences because they've prepared me for what I'm doing today. You see, some of us need to stop praying, "God, get me out of this testing," and start praying, "God, what do you want me to get out of this testing?" A lot of us are crying out to God. We're saying, "God, I'm going through this time and season of testing, and you got to get me out of this." And we're praying the wrong prayer. Because sometimes God's using that test to prepare you for a greater area of influence and service in the kingdom of God. James 1, verse 3 says, you know when your faith is tested. Notice it doesn't say if your faith is tested. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Testing of your faith produces endurance. Ezekiel 21, verse 13 says, testing will surely come. Message in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. It shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you may become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any ways. You see, God may use a test in your life to produce something valuable that He can use in the kingdom of God. Number 6, God may use a test in your life to purify you. It's interesting to me how we like to talk about the message of holiness and the pure life, and one of the tools that God uses to purify our hearts and our minds and our thoughts oftentimes are severe seasons of testing. When we go through the fire, we have the opportunity to come through as pure gold. In Psalm 66, verse 10, it says this, "You have tested us, O God," not Satan, "O God, You have tested us, and You have purified us like pure silver." Now, don't assume today that you'll be purified just because you survived the test if you didn't surrender to God in the midst of the test. Just because you survived and you said, "Hey, I made it through that," doesn't mean that we've been purified. Unless, through that experience of testing, we surrender to God and let Him have our all and yield everything to Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on that day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. "And I will bring the third part through fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon My name, and I will answer them, and I will say, they are My people, and they will say, the Lord is my God." Job 23, verse 10, and I love this. "But He knows the way that I take, and when He has tested me, I will come forth as pure gold." When He has tested me. A few years ago, I was preaching in a camp meeting in Alabama, and right there on the Alabama-Florida border, and they brought in a former football star for the University of Alabama. Some of you may know the name Saran Stacy. Saran Stacy was a huge football star for the University of Alabama and went on to play professional football and got saved and turned his life around, and he really began to become an evangelist for the gospel. And he was traveling around preaching and doing a lot of wonderful things. And one night, he and his wife and his five children, were on their way home. And there was a gentleman who had just found out that he was dying of AIDS and decided to get drunk and to take out the first person that came across him. So he was drunk, crossed the line, ran head collision into Saran Stacy's vehicle. And that night, instantaneously, Saran Stacy's wife and four of his five children were killed instantly. Saran was thrown into a coma. His youngest child was life-flighted to University of Birmingham, where they said that that child would probably not make it. And the child did make it, survived. And the day that I heard Saran Stacy, the youth choir was singing that chorus, "He gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord who gives and takes away." I sat through that song 100 times, but that night I'll never forget it. Because Saran Stacy stood on the front row. He lifted his hands to God. And while they sang, "He gives and takes away," he worshiped God. God took Saran Stacy through a severe fire, but He brought him through the fire as pure gold. God's given Saran Stacy a platform in our country today that some of us will never have, because he went through the fire and he came forth as pure gold. Number 7. God may use a test in our life to prevent something. He'll not only use a test to probe and to prove and to prune and prepare and produce and purify, but sometimes God will use a test in our lives to prevent something from happening. Exodus 20, verse 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Sometimes God will allow a test because you're heading the wrong direction. And without a test in your life, without God bringing a severe test and stopping you in your tracks, you would continue in a direction that would be absolutely incorrect. And God brings a test to prevent something bad. I think of Jonah. I believe that Jonah would never have got to where God wanted him to be if God had not allowed him to go through the storm. And ultimately, the experience of being in the belly of a great fish, amen? God prevented him from doing what he intended to do. And because God prevented him, he got him back on track and an entire city bowed down and worshiped God. And how many of you think he liked being in the belly of a fish, a great fish, those many days? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says this in the Message. God tested us thoroughly to make sure that we were qualified to be trusted with this message. Be assured that when we speak to you, we're not after crowd approval, only God approval. And since we've been put through the battery of test, you're guaranteed that both we and the message are free of error, free from mixed motives or hidden agendas. A battery of test to free us from mixed motives and error and hidden agendas. Let me tell you something today. God may use a battery of tests in your life and in mine to probe, to prove, to prune, to prepare, to produce, to purify, and to prevent. Let me ask you a question this morning. Since we know there are two kinds of tests, Satan brings tests and his purpose is temptation. God brings tests, his purpose is deliverance and our transformation. What are you supposed to do when a test is coming? Think back to school. You're supposed to study. I didn't get that quite right, but you're supposed to study before you take a test. And so I want you to hear as we close this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It's interesting, the word "approved" there simply means this. Listen. One who's been tested and found acceptable. That's what it means. So let me insert that into that verse of Scripture, if that's what the word "approve" means, that verse should read like this. "Study to show thyself one who has been tested and found acceptable unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You want to know about a crowd this size and people we've lived with in community for the last 7 days? There are a lot of people going through tests. And sometimes we wonder, God, why? Sometimes we're confused. Are these coming from Satan? Or are these coming from God? Where are they coming from? I can assure you this. If God's allowing a test in your life, He's probing. He's trying to prove something to you or through you. He may be trying to prune you back so you can produce more fruit. He may be trying to prepare you for something that's coming down the road. He may be trying to produce something in your life. He may be simply trying to purify us from some area that's unyielded to Him. Or He may be trying to prevent something in a direction that we're going. Today, if you're hearing the sound of this interruption, that has just announced, this is just a test. Remember this. This is just a test. And God is faithful. And so must we be.